You want us all up here?
Yeah, I think kind of call us up.
Peter.
Any questions?
We're good.
Can you get me the witness list, please?
Ours.
John Sears said sales.
How many guys you got?
Joe Allen, do we have the...
Bring on the chair up.
Amendments for 2571. Where are...
No, I need to collect these now.
Oh, then I better sign.
I can get up and...
I don't see them.
Sears sent his greetings. I didn't get shield when he said that he was thinking about you.
He doesn't like me, doesn't care. Never has.
Peter,
you're right. Nobody hears that stuff gets so redundant. Yesterday I did this.
This gives you greater access to court records. That's basically why you're after it, right?
Yes. To all records.
To all
and court records in particular.
I'll try to stay as short as possible so you have a more distinguished... Yeah, I want to... Lars asked me to, since I'm a member of the committee and everything, that politically it would not hurt to make this move, gentlemen. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Can you vote for me?
Where are you going, Brian? Where are you going to go?
Why don't we start the hearing, sir? Are you rolling?
The Judiciary Subcommittee on Crime and Corrections for March 23, 1989 will come to order. Today's agenda includes House Bill 2469, House Bill 2563, House Bill 2571, House Bill 3054, House Bill 2746, House Bill 3157, House Bill 2479. We're going to start today with House Bill 2571.
Yeah.
As I said earlier, if you are here on the original House Bill 2571, you're at the wrong place, because this bill is a mere vehicle. Please ignore the original language. It is a mere shell of its old self with a relating clause there. And what this bill is now going to be the subject of is a certain request from the media community here in Oregon, mainly through Lars Larson. We'll be working off LC draft HB 2571-2 LC 2431. That is the actual bill we're working off now. Now, without any further ado, why don't we turn it over to our witnesses. Please identify yourself and describe the bill for us.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and committee members. My name is Lars Larson. I work for KPTV's 10 o'clock news in Portland. I want to thank you for the opportunity to testify on House Bill 2571. My employer usually expects me to stay under a minute 45. I'll try to do that today. Reporters, by training and education, are taught to observe events and avoid at all costs participating in them. But there are some important changes that need to be made in the public records law. I appear here with the full knowledge and support of my employer, Bill Swing, the news director of KPTV. House Bill 2571 does two very specific things. First, it includes Oregon's court system in the state public records law, correcting an apparent mistake made when the law was drafted. I discovered this oversight when I asked to see some photos introduced into evidence in a court trial in Multnomah County. The judge refused. KPTV's lawyers researched the subject and found court decisions which found that the Oregon courts are not considered a public body under the Oregon public records law. The records were unavailable. Joel and Zucker, the legal counsel for the House, for the committee, researched the matter and found that the courts had apparently been left out of the law by mistake. House Bill 2571 would correct that mistake. Article 1, Section 10 of the Oregon Constitution, as I'm sure you know, says no court shall be secret, justice shall be administered openly and without purchase. Opening the court's records fully for every member of the public is a necessary part of keeping the courts open and public. The second thing House Bill 2571 would do is to allow public agencies to reduce or waive fees charged for release of public records. Such a waiver would only be available when journalists, scholars, or authors could show that release of the records would benefit the general public. Radio, television, and newspapers serve as the sole source of information about government for many people in this state. When government agencies want information out, they send press releases, hold news conferences, and generally bend over backward to supply it. But often, when a reporter asks for something an agency is sensitive about, the agency may charge high fees to discourage such requests. The Portland Police Bureau, as an example, routinely holds press conferences after large drug busts and hands out free copies of press releases, reports, documents, and information which bolster its image. But when a reporter seeks documents from the Bureau, which the Bureau has not made the subject of a press release, it routinely charges $2 per page. Public agencies in Oregon spend literally hundreds of thousands of dollars on public information spokespersons. The cost of providing a few free records to journalists to benefit the general public is small by comparison. I've included in my testimony letters of support from the Oregon Associated Press Board of Directors and the Radio Television News Directors Association, and also the Society of Professional Journalists president had intended to be here. He had a last-minute conflict and indicates that the Society of Professional Journalists fully supports House Bill 2571. Thank you very much for your time.
Representative Courtney.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Peter Courtney, State Representative, District 33, Salem-Keizer. I received a call yesterday from Lars Larson, who sits to my immediate left, the journalist, anchor, and weekend anchor for KPTV Channel 12, asking if I would help him in his effort to get the committee to adopt the amendments to House Bill 2571. We had a conversation. I also discussed it further with John Sears, who's also the news director or
executive producer.
Excuse me, executive producer of Channel 12. Following those discussions, I agreed to sit with these distinguished gentlemen in hopes that you offer support to these amendments, which in effect grant the media and others greater access to all public records, but specifically in terms of the media, court records. And all I'll say, as you know, maybe some of you don't know, I used to work for Channel 12 on a part-time basis as their political analyst. And while it was only for 2 years, it was in that role that I started to really appreciate and become educated as to the role of the media in our society, and also the critical needs and that they have to have access to public records and documents. And so therefore, Mr. Chair, I, in good faith, do support these amendments, and I hope as a member of this subcommittee, which will be considering these amendments, that my fellow committee members would also look favorably upon them. And I'm at your disposal to answer any of your tough questions or take your tough criticisms. But as I say, it's somewhat of a sentimental journey for me because I wish I could still be employed by Channel 12, but they've told me that's a clear conflict of interest. We discussed that again last night. We worked that all out, and I'm still here today to show you that I have nothing but the total complete high regard for what is attempting to be done with House Bill 2571. Do you have any questions for me, Mr. Chair?
Whether or not you don't have to declare a conflict of interest.
No, tragically and sadly, I do not. I would like to be able to, but Channel 12 is very much taken with conflicts of interest and what it, appearances and things of that nature.
Representative Ryan. A series of one-liners are running through my head right now, but I'll resist. I do have a question, and perhaps it's any of the gentlemen who are witnesses today. You are in the business of providing news. And while it's a valuable public service, it is still a business. Isn't that correct?
That's correct.
My only question with regard to this is why shouldn't there be fees to cover the true and actual costs of delivering materials you request?
I think the law is currently written to say just that. The problem with the way that the law is actually implemented in the real world is that when an agency wants something out, it provides anything you want. It will hand you documents that probably cost many dollars to produce. But if you ask for something the agency doesn't want, it falls back on that rule. And the practical effect is that it's a chilling effect. The Portland Police Bureau, 2 years ago I went to the Bureau to try and get a hold of a memo, which is a public record, which Penny Harrington had produced as chief, to allow officers to carry automatic handguns. It was a 4-page memo, and I also wanted the 10 pages of the so-called general orders, which dealt with use of deadly force, to do a story. 14 pages of material. The Bureau said it wanted $28 for that. I called the officer who retrieved the information. He said he'd spend less than a quarter of an hour. He's paid $16.46 an hour. The actual cost of Xeroxing couldn't possibly have been more than 10 cents a page. The actual cost was $6. The Attorney General says local DAs should consider requests made as petitions saying that you've been denied on the basis that you're being charged too much. But the DA of Multnomah County has taken a position that he doesn't want to get into a dispute with the police bureau over its charges, so he won't review those. So the practical effect is that bureaus are able to chill reporters' search for information by charging what are clearly excessive fees, and there is, in a practical sense, no review.
How about, okay, I understand what you're saying, and I would agree with the cost comments that you made, but what happens if this bill allowing greater access were approved, but requiring true and actual costs? We have that kind of language in a lot of things with regard to city accountability, the chief of charges and other things. So they could be charged $28 if the true and actual cost is $5 or $6.
I think you have the same practical effect, and that is that public agencies, government agencies, are able to give away free what they choose to give away free, which will be the documents that show them in the best light. They will charge for the documents that they do not want to give away. And the effect is the same. It means that it will enhance an agency's ability to give out materials that make it look good, and it will be able to, in whatever small way, discourage the release of materials which make it look bad.
Mr. Chairman? If you're finished. Well, there's a difference, though. Access to public records means you have a right to look at public records. Getting copies of public records means that you can go in there and require, if we require that they be copied, that an agency provides you with documents. There's no restriction in this bill as to the number of pages of documents that you could request. I know it's discretionary as to whether or not they're going to give a reduced fee, and I would be concerned about saying you could walk in and ask for 1 million pages of documents and say, well, I'm a journalist, and under this legislation, it really, you should be giving this to me at a reduced or a non-existent fee.
With all due respect, Representative Mannix, there is an easy answer to that. And the answer is that if I were to walk in and ask for, let's say, every parking ticket that had been written in the city of Portland in the last year, that'd be a ridiculous request. The agency would probably turn me down routinely. I'd go to the district attorney, and he would then expect me to write a public interest argument to show why it is in the public interest for me to have copies of every parking ticket written. Now, there's also a second effect, and that is that in some cases, the agency can't give you just access to the record to look at it. In many cases, that's all I want or all a reporter wants. But if the document contains things that the agency feels are confidential or are withheld under other portions of the public records law, it has to make a copy and exclude those portions. When it does so, it's then allowed to charge you. There have been cases where I've asked to simply look at the document, and the response is you have to have a copy. You can't see the actual document because it contains excluded materials.
I have a couple of follow-ups, if I may. I noticed that in regard to the records, on page 1 of the amended bill, which is what it really is, these dash 2 amendments, lines 22 or 23, you've included that these public records include documents whether or not confidential or restricted in use. I have a real concern about that, because just reading that language on its face, that means that a juvenile court record has to be provided, that if there is a dissolution of marriage and information is requested by the parties to be sealed, that has to be provided. There's no distinction here between sealed and unsealed. It just says whether or not confidential or restricted in use. And reading it on its face, I'd say that includes sealed documents. Well, now, if you're telling me it doesn't, why don't we say so?
We need to get the other testimony. The rest.
Well, that's a major concern in this bill.
Got a legitimate concern, but
I tell you what, look, may I introduce myself, and I'll go through, and then I think I can answer that question. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Judson Randall. I'm an assistant to the editor of the Oregonian, and I'm the chairman of the Freedom of Information Committee of the Oregon Newspaper Publishers Association. I'm here in favor of the proposed amendments to House Bill 2571. As you know from the staff summary, the court records are not subject to public records law at the moment. In two cases brought by the Oregonian, the state Supreme Court has twice reaffirmed that the Oregon Constitution's requirement that courts be open. These amendments would extend that openness requirement to the records of Oregon courts. We urge you to adopt these amendments to the bill and to the law. On the question confidential, the records law does have exemptions to disclosure. There's a number of sections in the current records law that exempts records from disclosure. One of those exemptions is any record that is confidential under Oregon law. And there's a list of laws. It runs 100 and some odd separate laws, that one of which includes juvenile records.
And may I inquire on that? Then why? Then why are we saying whether or not confidential or restricted to use? Because if that exemption exists, then we've just thrown out the exemption and said, well, this, whether or not it's confidential, it's a public record. Are you saying that, well, we read first that it is a public record whether or not it's confidential, but then it's not available because then we have a confidentiality exclusion? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Well, I'm afraid I don't know. I'm not sure what the...
Go ahead. I'll take
this question.
A look at the statute.
Yeah. Do any of your gentlemen have any objection to the status quo of certain court records that he's referring to remaining closed? I don't think that was the battle we were here to fight today.
No, not at all. In fact, there is several years ago, the Oregonian was behind a law that opened some of the juvenile court criminal records, not the psychiatric records, the social workers' records, none of that stuff, just the criminal dispositions. And that's all we're after.
The subject of this bill is not to change those things. And in fact, if the bill comes out, I think we want to check to make sure the status quo is... Now, you may want to fight that some other day, but this, to make sure the status quo does not change in reference to those records. Thank you.
The committee council adopted the amendments. Is there something here that...
I think legislative council might have adopted this wording. I didn't do the particular wording in this subparagraph to relate to other statutes, to the language, to duplicate language from another statute. And I'll be happy to clarify it and make sure the committee's wishes are adopted.
Why don't we go to our next witness here?
Yeah, so very briefly, I'm Vern Mueller. I'm the executive director of the Oregon Association of Broadcasters. It's a trade association that represents all 16 of the commercial television stations in Oregon and about 75% now of the 152 radio stations. I've also been a member of the Oregon Joint Committee of Bar Press Broadcasters for the past 14 years, and for 24 years before that, a working radio newsman in the Portland market. And I'm here in support of House Bill 2571 as amended. I went on then in my testimony, which you'll have copies of, talking about the importance of public records for reporters. I won't bore you with that. That's just by way of a prelude to the reason I'm here, and that is the fact that copies of these records must be affordable, particularly, I think, to small market radio stations and, of course, to large market television stations. Although they can afford it, it has been inhibiting and probably chilling, as Lars has said. It seems that this legislation addresses the matter in the form of the waiver or reduction of fees to journalists, scholars, and authors, and for that reason, I would like to put the support of the association behind the House Bill 2571 as amended. Thank you.
No, thank you.
Okay. Questions, Representative Brown, Representative Dowd? Mr. Chair, I had not, the dash 2 wasn't in my pile. Dash 2 helps me a lot. So.
I don't, unless there's anything further, Representative Clark.
Well, I'd like to ask Representative Courtney a question. Right. At the tail end of your remarks, you said something about to enable them to do their job, and I want to ask you about what the job is. In Revenue Committee, some of these same gentlemen were just down talking about something that really got to them, which related to taxes and in the bottom line of the financial columns. And so we got into a little bit of pretty much a side discussion, which this is also, but the issue kind of came up about reporting. And there were some observations, and I admit I was one of the ones who made that comment observation, that we all, just within this building, put in long days, work hard, tried to do a good job, and among other things, can sit down and watch a discussion that takes place for 2 hours, very nicely balanced on both sides. And what do you see on the tube? You see the most flamboyant, the most negative, and the most controversial statements that are made, and not a very balanced presentation. And that also takes place in the Oregonian and every other newspaper in the state. What is the job of presenting the news?
Representative Courtney.
Well, it depends upon who, you know, you're talking about the reporter, you're talking about the editorial writer.
What about what people see? I mean, newspaper, it's what you see on the tube, and the paper, you see what's on paper.
Well, Mr. Chair, Representative Gloria, the paper has many different sections in it. I mean, you have the editorial part section, and then you have the story that's been reported. as far as the television network is concerned, they also, at the end, sometimes editorialize, as you well know. They're under tremendous time constraints on the nightly news, whether it's 5 or 11. Channel 12, interestingly enough, has an hour, but it's not a full hour. It's a total of, 40-some minutes or some
57 minutes, 58 minutes.
Well, about the commercial.
Minus commercials.
Minus commercials is what I'm trying to say. That's the thing I'm trying to get
yeah.
to. I think that, you know, I don't know quite how to respond to that. I think, obviously, they want to, there's two things in the broadcast media I learned is entertain and educate. And if what you're saying is of no interest to the public, they're not going to watch, and they're not going to listen, and they're not going to read. So there's got to be some of that in there as to trying to anticipate what the public's really interested in, Representative Plory. And sometimes to put that interest out there, you will take from the particular discussion or speech that individual who, through we talk about sound bites. What's the matter, Representative Mason? Am I doing a good job? Well, he asked me a philosophical question.
You try to avoid those.
Well, I'll shut down if you want me to. He asked me a philosophical statement, and I'm trying to, from my knowledge of what's going on here, they will take that individual, that part of the discussion, which in a nutshell dramatizes the discussion or dramatizes the issue so that they can have maximum impact given their time limitation, their space limitation. Now, that's my perception, and I think that I don't see what's wrong with that, providing it's not a distortion or it's dishonest. And that's the only way to respond, Representative Plory.
Chairman, I'm a reporter. I'm a working reporter. And I know that I frequently get phone calls the day after I've done a story from both sides accusing me of being unfair to their side. Balance is perhaps a matter of point of view. I think that what we try to do in many cases is to show those extremes of view because those tend to define the outer limits of the argument. In other words, when I'm covering the Portland City Council, there are some people who say that moving the East Bank Freeway would make Portland the be-all and end-all of cities, and there are other people who say that it would destroy it financially and wreck light rail forever. Now, if I put on sound bites or information from both of those sides, those tend to define the outside edges of the argument. And by watching both of those, someone sitting at home who didn't have a chance to sit through 3 hours of hearing because they had to work for a living has a chance to understand the extremes of the argument and perhaps from that draw a middle view that gives them an approximation of what the real situation is. And I think that's why when you sit at home and watch, you may perhaps see us put on someone's point of view who you do not agree with and perceive that it's unbalanced. But we try to present all sides, because sometimes, frequently, there are more than two points of view.
You really think you do?
Certainly try to.
I would, Representative Plory, I'd invite you to call me at the Oregonian if you find a story that you feel is distorted in favor of one side or the other. We naturally strive to avoid that.
Are you ready?
Sure. Let me give you my phone number.
Mr. Chair, is the videotape running? Is that on tape? Okay.
What I'd like to do is, well, Representative Corney knows back when he in his other life when he was doing his commentary for times when the light went on and the phone was on, he was ringing from me, asking how it had gotten so dumb since he left the motor. He changes his view, but it's more anyway.
I think at least Representative Plory would agree that KEX Radio provided a balanced viewpoint on the school finance package as it stood last Sunday evening for about 20 minutes.
Brilliant.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Clark.
Thank you. I want to ask a question about what your intent is vis-a-vis depositions. Are depositions, I mean, you want the right to come in and watch depositions? I don't know whether you have that right now.
I think we're talking records. Watching depositions?
Well,
you can't.
Depositions are recorded, Mr. Chair.
Well, anything that's introduced as a court record becomes available to us, but I think that's the case now. If in a civil case, if both sides take depositions, the parts of those depositions that are introduced and accepted by a judge as evidence are available now.
But only to the extent that they're introduced as evidence.
And that's all this would
okay,
do.
If
it's introduced, but see, what I'm saying is we found out through this very odd situation with a judge saying, no, you can't look at a court record, which I'd frankly never run into. I've covered the Diane Downs murder trial and the Dayton Rogers murder trial, and I've never had a judge say you can't look at an exhibit. This is the first time.
Thank you. I want to follow up on some of these privacy issues. There is a specific statute in regard to exemption from disclosure, which is 192-496, and I can see that that's fairly comprehensive. Looking at it, I'm not satisfied that whoever drafted it did so with court procedures in mind. And that's where Representative Clark's deposition question comes up. For instance, in the taking of a deposition, usually the parties in the civil proceeding will agree, let's do this deposition. And I think it's pretty arguable, well, there's also the public meetings law, and that wouldn't be considered part of the public meeting. That's a private gathering to prepare a document which may be submitted into evidence. Say the court orders that a deposition be taken because one of the parties is recalcitrant and refuses to cooperate. Again, we may be talking public meetings law rather than records. But say the court orders that a deposition be taken. The deposition is taken, but nobody chooses to submit the transcript of. Now, these are questions I don't expect you to automatically be able to answer today.
I can, if you'd like.
Say the court orders that the deposition take place. The parties go ahead with the deposition, and a transcript is prepared of the deposition. We always use deposition as though it's the transcript. Deposition refers to the proceeding rather than the document. The deposition transcript is prepared, but neither party chooses to submit it to the court. We're going to get into questions about whether or not that's a public record.
Mr. Chair, under the definition of public record, it says such as court files, and I would leave it to the wisdom and the experience of the members of the committee as well as the council whether or not, to answer Representative Mack's question, does that fit in there?
Let me ask you again. I don't think there's any, we're highlighting things that need to be resolved for the eventual bill, but I don't think it's seen controversial.
No, but there's an easier answer. This is part of the existing law. It says records, and that includes writing, any form of writing, recording, that sort of thing, prepared, owned, used, or retained by a public body. Generally, that's said to mean. Now, you're saying that because the court orders its preparation, but I think that that public bodies now say that it's only things they own or retain that are considered public records. The health division asked a PR agency to prepare an AIDS campaign. We tried to get a hold of it, but because the health division never actually took possession of it, we couldn't get to it.
All right, I understand that point. May I follow up?
Yes, you may.
I think that takes care of it. That's an important qualification. Well put. Thank you. The next question I would ask, though, is why are we exempting the Legislative Assembly if we're going to put, we've already dumped on the executive branch, if you'll pardon the expression. Why don't we say we've held them up to the highest aspirations of any democracy? Now we're going to hold the judicial branch up to those highest aspirations, but we specifically exempt the legislative branch, and I see it says because of Article 9. Well, it says as we are exempt under Section 9, Article 14, which is a very limited section of the Constitution, which says we're exempt from civil process. This is having to do with the privileges of the legislature during the session. Does this mean then that the public records law will not apply to us during the session? But when the session is over, it ought to apply? Maybe you don't have that answer, but I'll throw it out as a question to you.
I don't have it either. I know that the public meetings law has some exemptions for the legislature under the same clause of the Constitution.
Gentlemen, what I would like to do now, and you can, I like this bill, and heck, wouldn't be here if I didn't like it. Mr. Larson is a constituent of mine, and I have a long,
probably doesn't know this personal relationship. My father used to work for that station at one time back in the
KPTV channel 12 is the station you're looking for.
Mr. Chair, just point of order, which bill do you like, the original or the amended?
The original's gone.
Okay, I wanted to clarify that for the record.
And I would like to see the difference. What I would like to do is get two more witnesses on, and we're running short, and I'm going to
call our witness on 24. 2479. I have one witness on 2479 who's been waiting here all day and is on behalf of the governor, although I just sent a note down saying, please find Janice Yaden for me, and I got a note back.
I just want to correct a snide remark whispered in my ear by Representative Bohm moments ago. Now I know, Courtney, why you get such good press. As late as yesterday, Channel 12 informed me the reason they had not included me in some of their stories was for fear
that they would be seen as favoring me. So, Representative Boehm, that vicious remark was very uncalled for, and I'm deeply hurt to my quick.
President, come to
the
chair.
I'm sorry to get carried away, but I just, that was terrible what he said to me.
Parting shots, Mr. Larson.
I'm just, where are we right now?
We're going to take care of it. Trust us.
But
time, I'm going to come back to this and work session this today. If I want work session today, I'll work session the next possible time. I think we have, kind of consensus here on the bill, and I think we're talking about details. Clark, am I wrong?
Well, no, and as you know, I'm not a member of the subpanel, but I do a lot of adoption work. The more I sit and think about this, the more the questions come up, and would it be your intent to be able to get into records that are otherwise sealed by the court?
No.
Okay.
No. Only to have available those records that we all thought we were available up to this point.
They are not here to fight that battle today. They just want what they ordinarily would.